The reading is two sections, both taken from Psalm 104. Reading from Psalm 104 and verses 1 to 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of his chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes his messengers winds, his ministers of flaming fire. He set the earth on its foundations so that it should never be moved. Now picking up the reading again in Psalm 104 and verses 24 to 30. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom have you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, living things both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan, which you formed to play in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. And when you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. This is the word of the Lord.
Great. Thank you so much, Oscar. Let me pray. Dear God, thanks that you speak to us through your word, the Bible. Please would you do that now. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was at school, I wonder, boys and girls, and big boys and girls, and even bigger boys and girls, if you ever had a teacher who said this thing to you. My teacher was Mr. Peach. In year 8 in secondary school, and he was a deputy head. So he was a big deal. And he was quite a big guy as well. Big guy, big deal. He was walking up and down the rows of our chairs, of our seats, giving us some worksheets to do work on. And he was just handing it out, and people would say, thank you, sir, hand it out, thank you, sir, hang it out, thank you, sir, hang it out. And he got to me, and I said, I did say, thank you, sir, but I said it in that sort of way which wasn't that wise, a bit silly, you know? So I think I said something like, thank you, sir, thanks. And when I did, I regretted it instantly. Because Mr. Peach, the big chap that he was, with all of his authority, stopped as he was handing out, and he turned to me. And he said, like I've said to my children before, who do you think you're talking to? And I went, yeah, you, sir. But he was right. He was the deputy head. He was an adult. He was a teacher. He deserved a level of respect because of who he was. Who do you think you're talking to? I wonder if anyone's ever said that to you. Today, we're looking at this psalm that looks at, well, it looks at God, about what he's like. And today is a service where we say thank you. We say thank you for all the gifts God's given us. And we've given some of them, well, to those who have less than us, which is a great thing to do. But we're saying thank you. Thank you for all our gifts. We're saying thank you for God's promise to Charlie in baptism. We're saying thank you to God a lot. But the question I'd love us to think about is who are we talking to when we say thank you? Because it matters who someone is, doesn't it? Mr. Peach, if I were to say those things to my friends, they'd be like, meh, they wouldn't say who you're talking to. Mr. Peach did. But imagine if you had to say thank you to someone like the Queen. I've got some pictures, I think, that should come up on the screen if all things work well, of the sort of stuff that the Queen wore when she was crowned, just under 70 years ago now. And the reason I'm showing you these things is what she wore when she was crowned shows how important she is. No, not yet. How important she is. She wore this dress, which I've got some stats about, which is made of satin, and embroidered with the emblems of the United Kingdom in gold and silver thread. She's worn it a few times, only six times, but it looks pretty great, doesn't it? Not everyone gets to wear those dresses. Next picture is a picture of the crown that the Queen wore on the way to get crowned. This is called the George IV state diadem, and it's got 1,333 diamonds in it. And she just wore that on the way to get crowned, because then she got crowned with this, which is made of gold, and it's about 2.5 kilograms of solid gold. She drove to the coronation on this, the picture of it should be here, on this stagecoach, the gold stagecoach, which the monarchs have driven on the way to be crowned at their coronations for hundreds of years. It's made of gold. It's worth about £1.5 million in today's money, I believe. And then when she'd been crowned, she went back and lived in her palace, which we all know what that looks like. That's really big. All of those little things are a sign of how important the Queen is. Now, we're not saying thank you to the Queen, though. We're saying thank you to God. And at the start of our passage today, we read about some of the things that God... He doesn't actually wear them, but it's a poetic picture of what he would wear. If you have to think of what God would wear, this is what he would wear. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my Lord, you are very great. You're clothed with splendor and majesty. Okay, what does that look like? The great thing about diamonds, why they're so wonderful, is that they reflect light really beautifully. And they make light look wonderful. And so diamonds are great. But God, he doesn't just wear things that reflect light. It says in verse 3, he covers himself with light as like a garment. He completely covers himself with light. It doesn't say that he rides on us like a gold stagecoach to be crowned. He makes the clouds his chariot, and he rides on the wings of the wind. And when it comes to where God lives, or where God would live, it said that he makes the big pillars, you see we've got some pillars there, makes the big pillars for his bedrooms in the waters, and the whole of the sky basically becomes his palace. That's who God is. And so when we come to say thank you to God, it's quite a big deal. Now, when you say you meet the Queen, there's something you're meant to do. Has anyone met the Queen? Hands up. Anyone met the Queen? Giles, of course you've met the Queen, Giles. Knew you'd have met the Queen. Apparently, one of the things you're meant to do is you're meant to bow. Did you bow when you met her? Or curtsy. I've got a picture of a couple of people bowing and curtsying. There's Boris Johnson. He's met the Queen. Look, bow. And the next one, here's the other Prime Minister, previous Prime Minister, Theresa May. She's curtsying. When you meet the Queen, because she's so important, you bow or you curtsy. This psalm, when it talks about God, it says, bless the Lord. We should bless him. But that word, in the original language, means more than just like bless him, like, oh, bless you. It means something like praise him with a bended knee. Praise him with a bended knee. When we come to this God who we're giving thanks to, he is so awesome. He's made the whole world, and he is above the whole world. Well, then we praise him with bended knee. So we don't just say thanks or cheers, God, because he is so great, we should praise him and treat him like he is awesome. And so praise him with bended knee. And we're going to do that now with our next song. Actually, some of the words come from Psalm 104. We're going to praise our God. But it's a great opportunity to put into practice, not just saying, oh, cheers, God, you're really nice, but to take in all that he is, how glorious and full of splendor he is, and then respond by praising him because he is so wonderful.
The second reading is taken from Psalm 104, beginning to read at verse 10. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them, the birds of the heavens dwell. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. In them the birds build their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are a refuge for the rock badgers. And then dropping down to the end of the psalm, verse 31. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks very much, Caroline. Okay, I've got a little toy here. It is a fire engine. It says fire protection on the side. I think it's lost its thingy. This is a present that we that somebody gave to Teddy, my youngest son. He's not here today. He's a bit poorly. So he's going to go to Teddy. When I saw it, I did what many not that great fathers do. And I thought, brilliant. Teddy will probably go off and play with this in a corner of a room somewhere for a long time. And that means that I might be able to read a book, do some jobs, watch telly, read a book, do some jobs, watch telly. And a few weeks ago, I found it on my desk. And I wandered up to him and thought, oh, why is this here? So I went to my wife, why is this here? And she said, it's broken. It's not working. The lights aren't working. You're going to have to fix them. And my heart sunk. I was like, oh, I didn't want to have really much. I wanted Teddy to hang out with it over there and play with it. And now I have to try and fix the lights. And it's still been on my desk. And that was a good 2 or 3 weeks ago. The reason I'm telling you about this fire engine is because it may seem strange, but I wonder if sometimes we think that God is a bit like that, like I was. I just wonder if sometimes we can think that if there is a God, or the God we do believe in, he kind of made the world, because we looked at that a little bit in our first reading. He said he set the earth on its foundations. If he made the world, then if he's anything like me, he'll probably be off somewhere else, and he'll have just left us to get on with it. We might not be doing a great job with it, but he's just left us to get on with it. He's not that bothered. And maybe if something's going really wrong, we should go and talk to him about it. But otherwise, it's fine, isn't it? I sometimes think like that about God. And it makes it very easy to kind of do whatever you want, really, and think how you want. Because you think God's not that bothered. Yeah, he's made the world, but he's not that bothered. But what we find in this psalm is rather than being like a father who isn't that bothered about the fire engine being played with, it is that God is much more like a father who's feeding his children all the time. Who, you know, like, will feed them and then feed them, and then at tea time feed them, and then feed them again in the morning, and send them off to school with a packed lunch, and then feed them again, and then feed them again, and then feed them again, and then feed them again. And if you're a parent, I guess you know what that's like. It's constant. If you stop, you've got to, you keep doing it because you love your children. If you stop doing it, then we know what would happen. Let's have a look at some of the word. I've got some pictures that go along with it. From verse 10 all the way through to kind of, well, verse 18, you get this sweep of things that God is not just done, but is continually doing. You see, after he made the world, it says, you make springs gush forth in the valleys. I know that's not a spring, but it's a valley, and there's water in the valley. He makes that happen. And they flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. So the next picture, I think, is of, well, it's just lots of animals. They're feeding from water. God makes that happen. As in, if he were to stop, it wouldn't happen. Beside them, the birds of the heaven dwell. They sing among the branches. I'm sure there's a picture of a bird singing among the branches. How many birds have we seen around here singing in the branches? God makes that happen. He feeds them. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. Some water on the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause grass to grow for the livestock. That should be our next photo. Yeah, grass to grow for my livestock. And plants for man to cultivate, which would be our next one. You bring forth, that he may bring food forth from food from the earth, and wine to gladden the heart of man. Oil to make his face shine. I've gone for makeup here, because that's, we've all the things that God brings forth we can use to make our face shine. And bread to strengthen man's heart. It goes on. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly. The forest being watered by God. The cedars of Lebanon, they planted. In them the birds build their nest. The stork has our home in the fir trees. That's where storks hang out. Fir trees, apparently. The high mountains are for wild goats. And the rocks are a refuge for my new favorite animal, the rock badger. The whole point of this big sweep is that he's gone to God from valleys to mountains and everything in between, and all the animals that sustained and that we need. It doesn't say God just left them, but he's constantly maintaining, involved in feeding, involved in cultivating, involved in making, allowing everything to work, enabling everything to work. He is active in the world, and so he's not far off. Now, what does that mean for us, just as we come to this end? What does that mean for us? Well, a psalm would seem to say we should respond by rejoicing and giving thanks. I've got a lot of chocolate bars here. I didn't expect, Hannah went and got some. I didn't expect her to have this many. This is what the youth love. Would anyone like a chocolate bar? There's nothing sinister. At Florence, you can have one. There you go. Would anyone else like a chocolate bar? Yeah. There you go. The risk is I'm going to throw it from here. So it's going to be tricky to get to you, Oscar. I don't want to hit everyone else. Johnny, there you go. Yeah, Alfie, there you go. Smashed it. Anyone else? Yeah, I'm going to go. So if you go down the middle, I'll lob it down the middle. I'll bowl it. I'm going to bowl it. Lovely. Oh, yeah, one more. Okay, we'll go one more. I'm going to throw it into the buggy. Lovely. Charlie, you've been baptized. Of course you can have a chocolate bar. There you go. Lovely. So, you know, lovely. That's fun. Imagine. Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. The floodgates have opened. Imagine if somebody came to you and they gave you, let me get one. They gave you a chocolate bar at break time. Can you imagine that, Florence? A chocolate bar at break time. And they did it one day, and then the next day, and then the next day, and every day they came to you and gave you a chocolate bar at break time. What would be the right thing to say? Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. The right thing would be to say thank you. If they kept on doing it, you might want to say more than thank you. You might want to start celebrating the fact that somebody has just started giving you chocolate bars at lunchtime. You might start to delight in the fact you get chocolate bars at lunchtime. You go, this is amazing. Have I told you about this amazing thing? I get chocolate bars every lunchtime for no real reason at all. This is a great thing. And it keeps on going year after year after year. And it's amazing. What a joy. But imagine if you didn't say thank you. And you stopped, and you just took it, and you went, oh, this is, thanks, you thought you deserved it. And you were quite cold. And you sometimes said thanks to this person, sometimes you didn't, and you just were kind of a bit in between. Or maybe you just ignored the person when they gave you a chocolate bar. Wouldn't that be really bad? And you understand why that person would go to you and go, right, I'm not having anything to do with you then. I'm not bothering. It's so rude of you to do that. In this psalm towards the end, in verses 31, it's all through the psalm really. The psalmist who writes this is delighting in what God has done, that he's actively providing far more than a chocolate bar. You saw the pictures, the whole world sustained. Delighting in the fact that we have all of this. We're given it. We have all of it. And that's the right response. He praises God. May the glory of God and Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. I will sing to him as long as I live. While I have my being, I will praise my God. That's the right thing to do. And it makes so much sense. This is just a little aside, I suppose, but you see how it's got so much explanatory power, God making the world and sustaining it. Because you know when you see a lovely view, you get to a big mountain, it's been a hard walk, you get to the top and you see this glorious view, and there's something in you that goes, oh, that's so good. And you want to almost praise. What if you don't believe in God? Well, why would you want to praise? Well, you wouldn't, but you still do. I just wonder if it's one of those echoes being made by him. But if God has made everything, not just makes it, but sustains it, it makes so much sense that you would rejoice. You go, God, thank you. This is amazing. And you delight. And it joins up all the different bits of creation with God and his people. But if you don't believe in him, why are you saying thanks? What are you saying thanks for? It doesn't make sense. But as Christians, we can say thanks. And this is the thing that makes me come to a little point of crying. Actually, I'm sure we all cry about all sorts of things. I know people in my family cry about extreme things and not extreme things. This is quite an extreme thing. If God has given us all of this stuff, let me ask you this question. Imagine you woke up tomorrow and the only things left in the world were the things that you said thank you for. How much would there be? I know that there wouldn't be that much. There's a good chance my wife would be gone. There's a good chance my children wouldn't be there. There's a good chance so much in my life wouldn't be there because I'm not sure how thankful I am. I wonder how much I live thinking God's far away and not giving me everything all the time. I wonder if you're the same. When you first read it, the very end of this psalm sounds a bit jarring. It says, sinners, let them be consumed from the earth. Let the wicked be no more. But when I think about how thankless I am, it makes more sense. God's not giving me chocolate bars every day. He's giving me everything every day, and I'm not sure I say thanks that much. And I think it brings me close to tears. It probably should bring me to complete tears. I should grieve that deeply. And probably so should you. But then I'm reminded about the Christian faith and why it's so glorious. Because the story of the Bible doesn't stop here. It moves to the New Testament where Jesus was around, where God sent, well, his son himself down to live amongst us. And he wasn't a sinner. He always gave thanks for everything. But rather than us being consumed, That's what, well, we did to him. We cast him out. We beat him. We scoffed at him. We wanted to get rid of him because he was God amongst us. And he did that so that we wouldn't be consumed, that we wouldn't be judged, but he would be instead, and we'd be welcomed back. So our tears of mourning at not giving thanks, they can turn to tears of joy, that even though we haven't, well, God says to us, oh, I'll forgive you and give you a second chance. That's why I sent Jesus. You can come back to me and say sorry, but also rejoice and give thanks, not just that I've given you everything, but I've given you forgiveness as well.